This week's episode of Greetings from Storybrooke is brought to you by GoDaddy.com. Save 10% off any order by entering the promo code BLU13, that's BLU13, at checkout. Or get $5 off purchases of $30 or more by entering the promo code PODSAVE13 at checkout.
It's going to be all right.
How do you know?
Well, how did you know Emma would save you after you ate the turnover?
I believed in her.
The way Snow and I believed she'd come back to break the curse. That's the kind of faith that runs in our family.
Greetings from Storybrooke. I'm Bill Meeks.
And I'm Anne Marie.
And you're here for our first character profile episode, all about Rumpelstiltskin.
Just kidding.
we have failed you, greetings from Storybrooksers.
Life took over, and there was no chance of recording.
There was a holiday on, and Anne Marie works retail, and I was doing NaNoWriMo, and this, that, and the other. We didn't get the character profile.
We have winter break coming up.
Yes, there's going to be what, a few weeks, a month?
It's at least a month.
Without any shows. And luckily, thanks to you guys going and voting in our straw poll, we have our first three character profile episodes lined up.
Yay.
Number one was Rumpelstiltskin. Everybody loves Mr. Gold.
Gotta love a Rumpel.
Second was Regina, which she has a lot of backstory, so that makes a lot of sense that people would pick her. And three is August, Pinocchio.
I like that.
Yeah, although we know so little about him.
It might be a short episode. Yeah, but that's the third one. So.
We got, you know, what we've seen of him in Storybrooke, a little fat flashback in Tallahassee, and then the story of Pinocchio.
Gus the Mouse has 4 votes and Snow White has 1. What is wrong with you people? Well, Gus was a joke.
Gus the Mouse and Red are tied. It's you know, they're destined to be together, even on our poll.
Oh, wah wah.
But too little, too late.
Anyway.
Okay, well, I guess we should go ahead and get started talking about this week's episode. Why don't you take us away with the description of said episode?
Pardon me. The dead walk and the living sleep. Cora takes Aurora and makes her go beep. Emma and Snow's journey is nearly complete. All in this week's episode, Into the Deep.
I think that's my best episode description ever, honestly.
Oh.
And I was telling you earlier, I couldn't remember the name of the episode. And initially, the last line in that wasn't supposed to rhyme. But then I went and looked up the episode, and it was right within my rhyme scheme. I was like, okay, well, I have to do it then.
It was meant to be.
Yeah, exactly.
It was meant to be.
Okay, so before we get started going into our points, what did you think about the episode?
Loved it.
You loved it?
I loved it. Did you not?
I loved it. I loved 80% of it.
Okay. I mean, there's always some downtime.
There was plot progression.
It was almost entirely plot progression. We didn't have flashbacks.
Oh, no.
That
no
was fantastic. I was like, yay, no more backstory. We know enough to move along.
Yeah, but I mean, I had a couple of minor nitpicks, but I think really, you know, I'll get into them in a minute, but basically what they boil down to is having the cast separated like this is getting really old, and it's kind of the seams on the show are starting to show a little bit because of how long the main characters have all been separated.
Right.
Which I'd imagine before winter break we'll get that resolved anyway. But
yeah, it really looks that way.
But yeah, I liked it.
I liked it. Okay, good. Okay. Cool.
Okay, so first off, in that little, really cute little date scene with the hamburgers.
Trashy.
With Rumpel and Belle, Regina shows up and tells Mr. Gold that Cora is trying to get to Storybrooke. And he says, you told me you saw her body. Now, I know we saw an episode where she got sucked into a mirror.
She got pushed into the looking glass.
Yes. But I don't believe we've ever seen a scene where Regina saw her dead body.
I feel like that would have stuck out because all the Cora stuff seems to have stuck out because it wasn't all over.
Yeah, so I'm guessing that might be a flashback we'll end up seeing
next week,
later on, or something like I'd say next week. Yeah, like any.
Because isn't next week the Queen of Hearts? Like, come on, hello.
Popular theory, that would be talking about Cora. But I think I completely lost my point.
Sorry.
But it happens. But her bringing people back from the dead in this episode, maybe that might have something to do with it.
So much bringing back from the dead.
If they're holding any secrets in about Cora, I think they really need to kind of resolve those before we get back from winter break and the real fight starts. Because hopefully there'll be so much action going on that you're not going to have time to stop and be like, oh, this is what Cora was doing between the time she got pushed in the mirror.
They really need to. Well, I mean, they sort of touched on it because she said she was tired of going between the different lands.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw some speculation online that she went through all the doors in the hat. She was just walking around the hat, checking it out here, checking it out there.
But why does she need two MacGuffins to get to Storybrooke now then? Why can't she just travel there?
The hat's destroyed.
This is true. We don't know for sure that she was using the hat anyway.
She made her initial
journey through a mirror.
Again, this was just a theory thrown out online. How reliable is a theory on Reddit? So,
like, generally 85 to 90% accurate.
It's a theory, though.
Yeah.
Anyway, continuing on.
Anyway, go ahead.
So, lots of hearts all over the place. Why does she keep the stinking rotten hearts? It really drives me nuts that there are all these hearts all over these three different worlds. And where did she get the boxes? Did she just conjure up some boxes? I mean, I know she's got some magic. I know she probably anticipated the need for her own army.
Mm-hmm.
But...
Well, I mean, it was all a big plan, right? I mean, who knows how long she had been parading as Lancelot.
A while.
They might have mentioned it specifically in the episode, but who knows? It's impossible to go look that up. It's impossible to go back and watch that and find out how long she'd been there impersonating Lancelot. She could have, you know, set up her whole heart chamber. She could have had some hearts already before she even...
I'm sure she did.
Before she slaughtered the town.
Yeah, I'm sure she had some hearts. But, I don't know, it's just weird. And then she, you know, how does blowing on a heart make it suddenly pull six of them to life? Only a specific six.
Well, then it started the other ones in the cabinet behind her, like, glowing or...
No, those were... I'm assuming those were all the ones, like, you know, she clicked this column.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the ones that came to life. Like, and it's weird because, I mean, she's taken hearts and taken control of people, as we'll discuss in a few minutes, without killing them. And, I mean, I know she killed these ones for effect.
Well, I don't think it kills them immediately. I think you have to kind of choose to squeeze the heart.
But once you squeeze the heart is done.
Mm-hmm.
That body ain't coming back.
So, what did you think of the zombies overall?
I mean, zombies are zombies. They're pretty cool, but...
Well, I thought the zombies were kind of weak, actually.
I didn't say they were amazing, but...
I mean, I know it's a 8 o'clock program on ABC, but...
Right.
After watching The Walking Dead for the past few years, my expectation of zombie mayhem is a little elevated, maybe.
Right.
But no one in the fight, no one really even took a headshot at them.
They did one at the end.
Yeah, one at the end.
Because Emma even said, "How do you kill these things?" I'm like, obviously, you haven't been around zombies.
Obviously, Night of the Living Dead is not one of the worlds in the half.
Right. So, I mean, I don't know. The zombies, the hearts are just getting a little extreme.
Mm-hmm.
They do play loosey-goosey with some of their rules on things.
Yeah.
But.
Well, I mean, I really think they're still, you know, taking their time defining some of those rules. And, you know,
if they can get
if they can get a better story out of the hearts doing X instead of doing Y like they originally did, they'll probably They probably won't mind, you know, changing up the lore a little bit.
Well, and then there's magic, so there's always different things.
It's like that old Simpsons quote, if there's any internal inconsistencies in the way, you know, the rules of the world work, a wizard did it. And in this show, it's completely appropriate
there's magic everywhere. Right. So.
Okay, this is one of my problems I had with the episode. Now, Charming's whole plan about going into the room and meeting up with Snow and getting the kiss to come, everything had to go 150% right if anything about that plan was going to work. And except for the kiss, everything went 150% right, which, you know, he's one of the heroes of the piece, so you expect things to be easy for him.
Right. But
not that easy. I mean, obviously he got trapped at the end, but everything else went gangbusters.
Oh, like, yeah.
He got the information across.
He found the place.
He found the impossible room.
Right.
And if one factor had not worked out, if he had got transferred in that room into that room of mirrors and never found the burning room.
Well, he only found the burning room because of Henry. Because Henry gave him the necklace.
The thing. And that,
broke.
That was like a last minute.
Yeah. That was a part of the plan.
Although when Henry ran up to him and gave him a hug, I thought he was going to, like, hug him for a second and then, like, jump on the needle because he wanted to go so bad.
I think they should have sent Henry.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that in a minute.
I'm sorry, but anyway. So, okay, well, kind of along that, Henry and Aurora, they're very similar, I think.
Mm.
I mean, obviously, they're both tired of sitting in the back. They want to be the hero. They both blatantly say, I want to do something for other people. I want to be the hero. Mm-hmm. But even just the way they present themselves is very...
Well, I can definitely see that. And they're both characters that are looking for a mother figure a little bit.
Like right.
Henry, obviously, we know who
might have an abundance of mother figures.
But, you know, Aurora very much has been locking into that type of relationship with Snow.
Aurora is really just looking for any sort of a positive relationship because... Mm. You know, as much as Mulan's trying to protect her, she doesn't want Mulan to protect her.
Yeah.
She's basically like, back off. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, look at where she is, too. She was asleep for, 28 years? She wakes up, her entire kingdom is gone.
Right. Everything's
except
destroyed.
Except for the man she loves who is right in front of her and gets taken away almost immediately.
Right.
That's kind of got to throw you for a loop.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, she's completely loose.
Hard to have a 5-year plan in those kind of circumstances.
Yeah, this is not a 5-year plan kind of world. This is like a 20-minute, 1-hour kind of plan.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway.
Okay, so Hook somehow has magic. He can take people's hearts. One, where did he get the magic? Where did he learn magic? And two, how powerful is he exactly? Like my big thing is anyone we've seen learn magic up to this point has been taught by Rumpelstiltskin or by a student of Rumpelstiltskin.
Korra.
What about Korra?
How long have Korra and Hook been around each other? Because he was there when she did the whole slaughter thing because he was the plant. She took all the hearts for 20 plus, who even knows how many people in the village. Mm-hmm. He was there.
Hmm.
You missed that memo?
We actually refresh me because
that's when they first find Hook in current fairy tale land. That's when the foursome meets up with them.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. I thought first. I keep getting Korra and Regina's names mixed up.
You need to stop doing that.
Yeah, I really do.
It's a problem.
Bad. Okay, so now that I understand what you're talking about and who you're talking about, which is very silly, go ahead and give me that whole statement.
Okay. He was around when Korra slaughtered the entire town and took all their hearts. Okay, so he stood there watching her take X amount of hearts.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he picked up a thing or two. And he's not the nicest guy. He's seen the heart thing done by other people. Because he watched Rumpel do it.
Yeah, but doing, like, advanced magic and pulling people's hearts out of their chest and stuff like that, that's not, like, you know, building a fence. You can't just sit back and watch someone do it and then
no, and I'm
be
not
able
saying
to do a decent enough job yourself.
But that was That's also what I'm saying. How long were Cora and Hook in Fairy Tale World together?
Well, it seemed like they kind of, when you first see them there,
right?
When they're
looking
standing,
over and discussing their plans.
Yeah, it seems like they've kind of, they were aware of each other, but they just kind of met up.
I don't know, because I got the feeling they'd already discussed the plan. They already had a plan.
Yeah.
They already knew each other's issues. Like, you don't, how did he know Cora was there and that she wasn't Lancelot?
I don't, maybe it's just, you know, kind of how I kind of read, kind of sense memory of the scene.
Right.
But it seemed like,
I mean, you thought it was Regina, so.
Very funny. No, but it just felt like they hadn't been hanging around each other very much. You know what I mean?
Right. I'm not saying they were buddy-buddy going to lunch every day, but, you know, things had been discussed. And, you know, if they had already talked about both going to Storybrooke and needing to go to Storybrooke or wherever together, you know, she may have taught him a thing or two to help him out with that, to help her.
Yeah.
Help you type of deal.
And I guess she didn't seem that surprised when he was like, hey, here's her heart.
Yeah, you know, she really does.
I don't know what remains to be seen. We need to get those years between the time that Rumpel killed his wife and, you know, modern day for Hook.
Right.
Because we really don't know what happened in between then and there, you know.
We just know he went to Neverland. So, okay. Dear Mulan, just give up, honey. Just give up. You try to take Aurora to save her on your own. Aurora gets taken by Korra's zombies. You try to run away with Golden Compass. I did that last time, too, didn't I?
Well, at least you remember all the characters' names for the most part.
You know who the characters are. And, you know, you can't make it. Like, come on. Stop failing at life.
Well, you know, when they had that initial scene together, I was like, all right, this is Aurora and Mulan's episode. But no, it just ended up being Aurora's episode.
Yeah, it was mainly. Definitely.
Mulan is still, we need a Mulan episode.
She needs a backstory episode. That's one character I feel actually needs a backstory episode because
yeah.
I got nothing for her.
Well, it's like, you know, they introduced her very quickly in the initial episode she was in, and but you really didn't get enough time to really care about her or even care about the fact that she was in a relationship with Philip or whatever. They implied that I think we really need to see either how Mulan met up with Philip or what happened after she did,
right?
You know, between then and saving Aurora. Speaking of Aurora, she was kind of a tough cookie in this episode.
I loved her sassiness.
Yeah,
I loved it. Oh, yeah. I'm not telling you anything. Sorry. Not happening. Loved it.
She's not the kind of hostage you want to take, but she's the kind of hostage you want to send.
Yeah.
Like, she was she wasn't giving, even when Cora, that's the right name, right? Cora?
Yes, Cora. It was Cora.
Is it Cora or Regina?
Demo.
But even when she brought up, you know, possibilities of maybe getting Philip back, she wasn't budging even then, which probably good because for all we know, Cora's lying.
Right. Well, I think that stands really good for her character, like her personality wise, because she's caring.
Yeah.
But I do think Cora hit the nail on the head when she said something about Aurora going and trying to start a new life. But I don't think she was necessarily wanting to go to, you know, find a new prince because she doesn't love Philip anymore. She wants to go start her own freaking life. You killed everybody that's in this world.
Yeah.
It's Mulan. Like, that's all she's got, unless they're going a very different route.
Well, I'm sure some shippers would be happy.
I'm sure, but that's it. Like, yeah. There's nowhere else to go.
Yeah, but
there's a giant. Anyway.
and some ogres.
There are ogres, but that's like, I don't know, that's not appropriate.
I don't know. Have they ever really addressed mixing races?
I don't think you get an ogre to like not try and like whack your head off long enough.
Maybe I'm thinking of a dwarf. I don't know.
Oh, I love dwarves. Stop it. Okay. So But how is it going to be now that she doesn't have a heart?
Yeah.
Because, like, I mean, obviously she's not controlling herself.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering, because I know, like, for example, the sheriff had pretty much control of himself, even though Regina had his heart. Like, is it just whenever Cora picks up the heart and speaks into it like a microphone that Aurora isn't herself, or is she kind of guiding the whole thing?
Right, like, how does that even work? Because how does she know what's going on? Can she look into the heart? Is the heart like a little glass ball? Mm-hmm. And she can see what's going on and hear what everybody's saying? I think that's ridiculous. They're getting extreme.
I don't know. We'll see. Can they put the hearts back? Have we ever seen them put a heart back?
Well, Frankenstein kind of did. But it wasn't a proper heart in a proper body.
Yeah, he didn't put it back into place. He kind of just, like, tore out a big chunk and shoved it in
there. Yeah, I think that's pretty much what he did. That's the way it looked, at least. So, I don't think we've seen anybody get their heart back. Yeah. So does that pretty much seal her as, yeah, dead girl walking?
Yeah, I was going to say, although it does seem kind of like a long way to take the character to keep her with us, to kind of just kill her in the next few episodes, or she can never be herself
and really
again.
To make us like her. Because, I mean, nobody really liked her first, up to like two episodes ago.
Yeah.
She had no purpose. She wasn't doing much for anybody.
Yeah, and I wouldn't even say that, they're making us care about her now so they can kill her off and make us care more about Mulan.
Yeah,
because they've done so little to develop Mulan.
Right.
She's such a one-note character that I don't think even, her having guilt or whatever over Aurora dying would even make me really sympathize with her very much at this point. We need that backstory.
We really do need that backstory for the third time tonight. So, magic is science, basically, is what it comes down to. Mm-hmm. You'd put this in the beaker and you'd give three drops, watch a little poof. Is it just me or did Regina look really happy when everything was coming together?
She did. She looked, like she was in her element, but I also really believe her with what she was saying to Henry, too.
Oh, I thoroughly believe that. I just think it's sort of like an addict who's been, sober for so long.
Yeah.
And then somebody walks by who just smells of it. And you're just like, and you gotta regain your composure.
Yeah. You know what, though? This episode, as far as Regina, I think this might be the first episode I've watched that had her in it, a significant amount where I didn't automatically think, bad guy, villain.
Right.
Bad guy, villain. Like, she's becoming more and more lovable.
It's because she's trying to save her own.
No, but I mean, her almost completely, and Mr. Gold almost completely as well. I'm almost when I see them, I count them on the same side as Snow and Prince Charming and all the good guys
right.
at this point.
But they're all working for a common goal right now.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
we'll see
change.
What happens when that all... Because, we know everybody's coming over. Let's be honest.
Yeah. The nature of drama. If they defeat Cora and or Hook this season and, their united cause, they're successful in their united cause, that just means either one of... who we thought the reformed villains were is going to have to go rogue, or
right.
they're going to have to bring in an even bigger big bad.
Which happen.
Yeah.
There's lots of fairy tales out there.
I would actually like to see, what's his name? Glass from the Daily Mirror.
Well, that's because you love him.
I know, but
he's a regular on another
see
show.
See him come back with his genie powers.
That would be
a big bad.
But hasn't he been taken out of Storybrooke now?
As far as we know,
his memory's wiped.
He's been arrested.
Right. How big is Stinking Storybrooke? Where were these people hiding?
Yeah, he's obviously not in the county jail.
He's not in the town south.
But if someone got taken out of Storybrooke before the curse was lifted, would they still lose their memory since they didn't have it at that moment to begin with?
I don't know, because nobody's been able to leave.
Yeah.
But nobody was able to come in either that wasn't a part of their world. Spoilers.
He must make another appearance or two before this series is done.
He's got to.
Just, he was such a good character.
He was on the Macy's parade.
Was he?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I saw.
Yeah,
I saw
he was interviewed by Al Roker. Lots of very uncomfortable looking children around them.
Kate, we touched on this a little bit earlier, but basically Cora tells Aurora that one can survive a Wraith attack because they're transported to this other realm, and it's all kind of vague. And but if you give me what I want, I'll get him back.
Yeah.
So, where might this land be? How might one access it? Like, I thought it kind of sounded almost like the Hall of Mirrors that Prince Charming was in this episode.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm guessing, you know, that's kind of like the netherworld of the Once Upon a Time universe. So I'm wondering if all those lands are connected, and maybe even Charming,
down there.
Maybe Charming might even end up finding him before he gets woken up.
Well, yeah, because who knows how long it's going to be till he gets woken up. We got a full episode or so.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be bored down there in the netherworld.
He's going to be burnt to a crisp. Yeah. I wonder if the burns will appear on, like, his physical being while he's still sleeping.
Gold will just have to be standing there just with like a covered healing hand right by.
Like that.
Yeah, Gold's been doing a lot of healing lately.
That's good.
He's doing positive things.
Because he's healing. And I think his theory is he can talk Bell into letting him use magic as long as he's using it for good and not evil. So he's still getting, again, it's the addict thing. Mm. He's getting that little bit, you know, without it being anything crazy.
Yeah.
It's a gateway drug, though. Gateway, man. Okay. Will we always lose each other, too? Hmm. Maybe.
Star-crossed
but it's really
lovers.
Sad. Because they're so happy. And they're so, I mean, you gotta want somebody to be happy. And then they get ripped apart.
Say what you will, they work.
Okay.
They do.
They do work. I don't know. It just makes me sad. Like, Snow was so, like, upset and pathetic. In the fire room.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was just tragic. And then Charming's, you know, holding it together because he's Charming again and not David.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just like, it's fine. You're going to find me. We'll always find each other.
Yeah, he was so hopeful and...
He's probably having a panic attack now that she's gone, though. I mean, he's still burning.
Yeah.
To be honest. Yeah. He's
at this hour.
Right now.
At this late hour.
he's burning. So, I don't know. I hope they don't always lose each other. Oh, you do. You're so mean.
But then if they don't keep losing each other, then the stories are going to get really, really boring.
But do they have to lose each other constantly? Like, they were together for like an episode and a half, if that.
I'm sure they'll get their time. They'll get another half episode before they have to jump into something else. It's okay. The actor and actress are together.
They're actually dating.
They're actually dating. So don't worry. Just because the characters aren't hanging out a lot, I'm sure the actor and actress are hanging out like all the time.
Right. Of course.
So don't be too sad. There's a very thin line between reality and fiction.
Very thin. Why does every show do that anyway?
Okay, so I thought Mr. Gold was right in that Prince Charming's plan was stupid and that Henry should have gone.
Agreed.
Like, Mr. Gold has the whole healing thing taken care of. Henry's willing to do it. He's like, no, it's not scary me, it's fun, guys. And Prince Charming just has to be the hero.
Of course.
Sometimes being the hero is thinking that you're the hero when your grandson is actually the hero.
Right.
That
could
have been the actual speech.
Let him do it. I don't know. And there was also something online I saw that, so who's going to be the sheriff? Is Henry going to be the sheriff to follow in with the family business?
Regina can be the sheriff. She's the sheriff.
Ooh. She's not part of the family, though. She's family by paperwork. So, I don't know. I'm talking about that.
But Gold was a...
Gold was definitely right.
Definitely right. All right. Well, out of 10 zombie hearts, on a range of 1 to 10 zombie hearts, what did you think of the episode?
8 zombie hearts.
8 zombie hearts?
How many zombie hearts are you giving it?
That's a lot of zombie hearts.
I know it's a lot of zombie hearts, but I liked it.
Well, after careful consideration, and I've been thinking about this all day, I'd have to say, brain.
It's horrible. Why did you make a zombie brain so I could do that too? I made it zombie hearts. I went with it.
Because it was my joke. I was waiting.
It's always your jokes. That's why I had to rhyme at the beginning of the episode.
No, I'll give it 6.5 hearts.
Oh, 6.5. Wow, we haven't differed that much in a while.
Yeah, well, it was a notable episode. A lot of stuff happened. But mainly Charming, even though I was like Charming's biggest cheerleader last episode.
Yeah, you really, you might as well get a tattoo.
Like, I was walking around the house all week wearing like a Charming shirt, Team Charming.
Oh, God.
But this episode just didn't do it for me.
See, I think maybe I was a little high with my 8, but that's because we were following a couple of not so great episodes. That this one's like, woo! Mm-hmm. I love it. I don't know. It may be the no backstory, even though we're begging for some backstory. I feel conflicted.
Yeah, there was definitely forward progression, and if it wasn't for that Charming subplot, I would have given it probably an 8.
Yeah, stop being greedy, Charming. Stop being greedy.
Okay, well, that does it for this episode's discussion. Here, I'm going to go ahead and mention this real quick. We are brought to you today by GoDaddy, which is a great... They host these things called websites.
Websites? What's a website, Bill?
It's a place on a thing called the Internet.
Al Gore invented that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where you can post a lot of animated GIFs. And you can also, like, write about things and sell products and do all sorts of neat stuff. And you can do it with GoDaddy. And they're, like I said, they're bringing you the episode today. And right now, we have an offer for you for 10% off of anything you put in your cart at GoDaddy. I don't know if they sell hot dogs. If they sell hot dogs, you can put them in your cart, get 10% off.
With chili and cheese sauce?
Yes, definitely.
I want a GoDaddy hot dog.
Definitely. You know, if you want to set up a Once Upon a Time fan site, bellgold.com or...
Rumbell.
Rumbell.com, reginaandemmaforever.org.
Henry for Sheriff.
Or like we did, Greetings from Storybrooke. You can't take that because we already
have it.
But for 10% off of anything at GoDaddy, put in promo code... Blue13, that's BLU13 at checkout. And now on to the news. News. Okay, first the ratings. It did pretty well this week. Let me pull these up here. I didn't have them pulled up here, so I'm just going to talk while I pull
ratings,
these up here.
Ratings. They're good. They're good this week.
See, now I'm just going to let you vamp and see how long.
Oh, no, please don't do that to me. I don't even have the article.
Okay. Once Upon a Time this week was TV's number 3 broadcast drama of the week.
I'll take 3.
Which is very good. And they also did very well. They had a 4.2 share this week.
Nice.
Up from 2.7 a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe everybody realized. Mm-hmm. All right, we gotta do this again. You know, that was a low point.
Well, they gave people, you know, the week break to kind of forget about how
bad.
Yeah,
it was so bad. Yeah. It's over. Yeah.
It's over. This episode was far better than the past two episodes
combined.
Okay,
so. I'm a little light on the news today. I apologize.
That's fine. There was a holiday.
There was a holiday. I'm still a little, you know, overloaded with turkey and mashed potatoes and stuffing. Oh, and the pumpkin pie. But, all right, this is a more of a Clue speculation, basically a spoiler. We just don't have an exact time, date, and location.
Yeah, this is a spoomer. A spoomer? A spoiler rumor.
Okay, spoiler rumor.
A spoomer.
The Little Mermaid. She's coming. Basically, in this episode, if you were paying any attention at all, you'll notice during the bedtime story, which I thought was a little creepy, so we're going to ignore that fact. Rumpel mentions that only him or a mermaid could get this ink from the giant squids.
But he didn't say he wouldn't have to use a mermaid to do it.
Exactly. So, I mean, right there, my ears went, I perked right up. I was like, we're going to see Ariel now? Because, yeah. I mean, it really looked like this week, maybe even next week, we'd get to see it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But
my prediction, we will see Ariel, what is it, the second or third week in March. We'll see Ariel for Sweeps Week, and they'll have they'll have Belle and Cinderella.
Oh, Cinderella. What happened to her?
She got on another show. I think maybe Homeland.
Man, these people with their other shows.
I predict. This is a prediction. Sweeps Week, Once Upon a Time, Disney Princesses episode. Like, you know, all those, the main princesses.
The real princesses. I wonder if they're going to bring Brave into this now.
They really haven't really touched on any Pixar stuff too much.
So Disney. She's in the princess world.
Yeah.
She is a princess.
Actually, that might be based on some folklore or a folktale or something.
I can
so
see that.
That would even make it more likely because I don't think they're really picking characters just because
they're
Disney famous
princesses.
Disney characters. I think that, you know, they're picking them. And a lot of times they're bringing in kind of that backstory from like the Grimm's fairy tales
right.
and things
like
that.
I like that they're pulling like the modern that everybody knows with the true original histories of
although
it.
I would still like to see Rose Red because, you know, a comic book I've talked about a couple times on the podcast, it's kind of has a similar premise. Fables. Rose Red is a major, major character. And so it'd be nice to see Rose Red at some point.
The other very, very small thing, and this is my own personal cheesy entertainment. I was on Reddit looking for something fun to share with everyone, and Mulan was on The Real World. How I did not notice this is horrendous. I am not huge on The Real World now, but she was also on The Challenge. And I love The Challenge, and I apologize if you've lost all respect for me right now. I understand.
I have. I definitely have.
I know you have. You have long ago, though. So, if... I don't know. That almost makes me more interested in Mulan and kind of wanting to go back and see other things she's done, because she's actually done quite a bit. Because, of course, I had to go to her good old IMDb. Like, she's done Hangover stuff. She was on Grey's Anatomy. She was, you know, on Samurai Girl. Never heard of that one. Probably a cartoon. She was on Greek. She was on, well, everybody was on a CSI or ER. So that can't be covered as much. She's on Days of Our Lives for a while. Like, she's got quite a few credits. She's got one completed and two filming right now. So that's almost scary. Nope, they're both movies. Okay, we're not losing Mulan.
You know, all that says to me is either she got all those jobs because she was on The Real World, or that the directors of Once Upon a Time are majorly holding her back. One or the other.
Yeah, no, she... Oh, where was it? She was on The Real World in 2004. And The Challenge was...
Was that the Philly season?
No, she was San Diego.
Oh, okay.
I think it was San Diego. Yeah.
Because I remember the Philly season was airing when I lived in Philadelphia, so it was
that's creepy.
Yeah, so we'd watch it, and like we'd see them, you know, walking down our street and stuff like that.
I think there was a lot of drama that year, like with the community, from what I remember. Because again, I watch way too much of this stuff. Anyway, all right. She was on Attack of the Show. Had a moment. Anyway.
So that wraps it up for the news. And actually, we forgot to mention, we got a very nice letter from Wynn about this episode, specifically about the zombies. She basically asked us to talk about the zombies. And we talked about the zombies. We meant to bring it up then. We didn't.
You know how we are. But we just start talking. That's right, Wynn. We're calling you out again.
Yeah. This is not saying don't write us because we're going to forget your letter anyway. This is saying please write us and please put in big bold letters right at the top, do not forget to read this.
If you must, go right ahead. Yeah. And, you know, we do have our voicemail number that you can call and leave us a little snippet to share with the group.
Yeah, you can call and leave a voicemail. And I would actually, for next week, I want predictions to the voicemail. Everyone will play everyone. If there's 50 voicemails, we'll split it up into a two-part episode.
Don't tell Gino.
Okay, but the voicemail number is 424-274-2352, and you just call in. You'll hear my voice for a minute, then you leave your message, and we'll be able to play it on the show. You can also get a hold of us on Twitter. We're at GF Storybrooke. You can email us, greetingsfromstorybrooke@gmail.com, or you can get all this information on our website, and you can also get our Facebook page, our Google Plus page, all of that, at greetingsfromstorybrooke.com.
Which you should be going to anyway to get your episodes.
Yeah, you should just...
You should subscribe on iTunes, which would be nice.
Yeah, a lot of people use podcatchers. Podcatchers.
Let's just go with it.
iTunes. Beyond Pod, I use them.
Have you rated us on iTunes lately? Because I think we only have like 3 ratings.
Yeah, I think.
And I know we have a lot more regular listeners than that.
Yeah, we have like hundreds.
So if 10% of you mm-hmm. would like to go rate us,
we should do
that would be fantastic.
We should start doing that thing Ira Glass does on NPR during the pledge drives where he just calls people up who have been reported by their friends for listening to NPR without downloading or without donating.
Nice.
We should just start randomly calling up our listeners and being like, hey, give us an iTunes review.
We saw you downloaded this every week for the past 2 months. Why have you not given us a rating? You obviously enjoy the show.
Yeah.
The end. something else I wanted to throw out that I don't have on here.
Okay.
Really stupid and brief. I have not forgotten about the flowers, the flower tattoo. Mm. Like I said, holidays sort of took over my life, and I work retail. But as we saw this week, poppies. So I think it's actually a poppy.
Yeah, and if you want to hear more about what she's talking about, go and listen to our last episode, episode 7, about the last 10 minutes or so.
Yeah.
You'll hear it. But I think that about wraps it up. And then next week, what did they call it? The winter finale?
The winter finale.
Winter finale, which means they're going on break for
a month or so.
A month or so.
But, you know, people travel. People do things. They're not there to watch it, so.
And we will be doing the character profile episodes.
Yes.
For sure. So
at least I'd
out.
Say at least through December. I don't know exactly when they come back, but mm-hmm. goal was through December. Yeah.
And we definitely want your theories, your predictions for next week. So please send those in or voicemail 424-274-2352. Email greetingsfromstorybrooke@gmail.com. Semi-4, just go stand on top of the hill with 2 flags. And I'll be sitting across the way with a notepad. But we love all of you.
I'll take pigeons.
We missed you.
We really did miss you. I missed this.
Yeah.
We kept going, all right, we're going to do it this night. And then it would be like, no, that's not going to work. It's midnight
just
already.
It just didn't work out. But we'll be back next week. And then we'll have a couple of special character profile episodes during the break. But until next time,
greetings from Storybrooke.